everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Fairy Conclave. I'm your host, Alec. My pronouns are he, him. This is episode 86, and today I have an extra special guest on the line. It's Tappy. How are you doing today, Tappy?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little bit frazzled. It's been like a little bit hectic, but I don't know. I feel like it's just Mercury is in the refrigerator again or something. I don't actually know. I'm not an astrology gay. I'm so bad at it. I actually have no idea. But either way, it's just been like the vibes have not been pristine, but it's cool. I'm here now. My dog's chilling, so it'll be good. We'll make it through.
Yep, I feel that. I'm also not an astrology gay, but my partner is, so I'll have to ask them later and see if they have any insight into why I'm also feeling frazzled today. So I'm right there with
you. Sounds good. Let me know if Mercury is in the microwave.
Yep, whatever. Yeah, whatever that has to do with Mercury. I'll let you know.
Okay.
But so Tappy, you are a streamer and a cosplayer and just kind of like all around magnetic magic personality. What kind of stuff do you have going on that you've been working on lately?
I do my stream and I film stupid TikTok videos and I film stupid not TikTok videos for other people. I'm a reoccurring villain on better content creators programs. I do have a few cosplay projects in the works. I have a few events that I'm going to later this year that I'm excited about that are not magic related. So I'm actually making some like costumes and getting some stuff ready for those. Some local stuff that I'm excited about because sometimes it's nice to do not magic things. It's really nice sometimes going to cons. I'm going to one where like people might know who I am, and then I'm going to one where people definitely don't know who I am, and it's really fun to go to the ones where nobody knows who I am. Nobody asks me for pictures unless they actually like my costume or whatever stupid thing I'm dressed up as. So I hate getting asked for pictures or anything like that, but it's just it's nice to do like the reverse as well.
Yeah, it's you're like there more as a fan, I guess, than
oh yeah, absolutely. Like I it's super fun. I don't have to do anything. I just can cause problems on my own terms.
Yeah, makes sense. I really liked your satanic cosplay from like pretty recently. That one was really cool.
Was that my sexy Krampus one? Was it where I was in all black and like the crazy wig? Or oh no, my Satan one, where I was literally Satan. Yeah, I was Helltaker Satan. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
That's
the white wig one. That's right, because that was like almost exactly a year ago when I dressed up as sexy Krampus for Christmas, just because I don't know, I felt like doing some blasphemy. My Lucifer costume is it's from this like cute little game. The art and the music is like super good. It's actually free on Steam. It's called Helltaker. It's super super cute.
Yeah, that game looks super fun.
It's a little puzzle game. Highly recommend it. Like it's a good little like fun romp through this like just little. It's very cute.
I love it. Yeah, I don't think I've talked about it too much on the podcast, but I'm definitely a gamer. And we were talking about earlier how the squirrels chewed through my internet cables yesterday, and so I went like a whole day without playing any video games, and it was kind of terrible. Like what do people do?
I don't know. I wish I was like, I feel like I'm like not a real gamer anymore. I occasionally have a lot of hours on Magic Arena, but it's mostly because I like have it up on my computer when I'm like making dinner or cleaning my office and like forgetting to actually play it. I don't know. I keep myself busy in a lot of other ways too. And I play a lot of Stardew Valley, like in bed with my dog.
Yes. Yep.
Before I go to bed, I play a lot of Stardew Valley.
Yeah, I definitely have gone through a Stardew Valley phase or two. So anyway, I guess I'll go read a book when I get home. I'm not sure what else there is. But anyway, so Tappy, we've got you here to like graciously allowed me to ask you a whole bunch of questions about one of your commander decks.
Yeah.
But yeah, before we get into it, let's do our community spotlight for the episode. And today our community spotlight is going to be Quad 9. And this was somebody who you referred to me, Tappy, so I'll let you take it away. Who is that?
Well, Quad9 is, I'm not biased at all, but my friend Steph. I have her on my stream whenever I can. She's just a absolutely positive, just warm hug of a person. She's also pocket sized, so she's great for any of your travel needs. She's got really phenomenal decks that she makes on Moxfield. They all have great names. like Unipega horses and Betty White's Ooh. Back, and she brought some friends. Sure, Yawn. She has Crimefoot the toe away, which is Slimefoot the stowaway. Obviously, oh, close to my heart because it's a toe pun. And just all around, really, really cool human being. You should follow her on Moxfield and tell her I said hi and that she's cool.
Yes, you definitely should. I love following, I don't know if this is super common, but I love following people on Moxfields. Like, I'll just like scroll through people's deck lists all the time. It's so much fun.
Hear that it's super common. So I feel really bad because you invited me onto this podcast to talk to me about decks. I am just a chaos gremlin, and at any given time, my deck lists are probably inaccurate because I've either like lost a card or subbed one out. They probably don't have the correct amount of lands in them. Or an accurate count of lands, because the way that I build decks is I pick all the cards that I want, and then when I get to about, like, about the amount that I think I should have enough of, I sleeve them, and then I put lands in the rest of the sleeves, which usually means that I have too many cards, because sleeve packs come with more than 100 sleeves.
Yep.
So at any given time, I'm probably playing an illegal deck. I don't know how many lands are it. It's usually not enough. And part of the reason that we picked the deck to talk about today is because I had to have the deck list for somebody else. So it should be maybe updated. And there's like an 80% chance that it's accurate.
I love it. The real secret to this podcast is talking about the deck is kind of secondary to my real secret purpose, which is just getting to talk to people about Magic. So... as if there's a deck list or like no deck list at all, I don't really care. I'm just here to have a good time. So, but you do have some kind of deck list put together for this. So
I have some kind of deck list. that's something that's I can usually manage. I usually at least have a Scryfall page that has a stupid name and a commander on it.
Perfect. Yeah, that's all we really need. Yeah, let's get into the interview for the commander deck. First question for you is, could you tell us who your commander is and what inspired you to build this deck in the first place?
The commander is Atraxa, but don't judge me. That's, I believe, her official legendary creature type line. Yeah. And I made it because I actually got the suggestion from a friend to use Atraxa as the commander, because one of my favorite sets in Magic of all time, one of my favorite blocks, is Lorwyn. Lorwyn is probably my favorite plane of all time. There are others that are high in my esteem, but Lorwyn is when I started Magic. And it's also just something that I've never gotten over, my love for Lorwyn, both the story and just the absolutely unmatched vibes. And the art is just phenomenal. It was like peak Rebecca Gay, just like doing her absolute best, amazing, just stellar fucking... Oh, sorry, I didn't even ask if I can swear.
You definitely can.
Okay, her just amazing work. That's what Rebecca Gay makes me do, is just yell fuck a whole lot, because she's so good. So I love all of the merfolk in Lorwyn, and if you're an old Magic, or older Magic player, actually, it's just old at this point. Merfolk came out in like, friggin' Lorwyn was like 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
There are merfolk in a lot of different colors, and merfolk's like the primary quote-unquote colors were like blue and like white, and then when you switch to Shadowmoor and you did like the dark half of Lorwyn, a bunch of the merfolk were black, combined with Ixalan, which is another one of my favorite planes because there's dinosaurs, but there's also green merfolk. So I couldn't figure out a commander that kind of actually allowed me to play some of the white merfolk, which aren't really all that good, but it was important to me to play, because I had all these, like, when we used to play like 60 card casual Magic, or, you know, kitchen table, like, cards I wanted to have, I had like a merfolk like tribal like let's swing deck, and I had a merfolk tribal mill deck, and those were like my favorite just 60 card casual decks among my friends when we started playing. So I wanted to be able to like put all my kind of favorite bangers and heavy air quotes here, because they're merfolk and they're bad, notoriously not great. So I wanted to put them in a deck. And the nice thing is that Atraxa, like, cause I don't know, like I was like, oh, you can put Thrasios in there. And I felt like that was actually worse than Atraxa. And also there was nobody that I really felt like thematically went with Thrasios as a partner that like kind of did the merfolk stuff. Like, Ravos is like there, but like, what is this like twink from Theros doing with Borwin Merfolk? I don't know. So a friend of mine actually suggested that I use Atraxa because she cares about counters, which Merfolk actually like a lot anyway. And so then I just drew a like a sarong and a beverage and a big sun hat and a beach ball on my Atraxa, and I just called it Atraxa's pool party, and she invited all her Merfolk friends there.
So good. I also have an Atraxa deck with the rider that it's actually way worse than you might expect. And I also have a Kumena Merfolk deck.
Sure.
And it's true. Like, that one kind of has to do with plus one counters, and so many Merfolk care about plus one counters. So it makes a lot of sense that Atraxa would be going to a pool party and inviting all the Merfolk. And it, you know, it comes together in some kind of way.
It does. Usually it doesn't for me, because, again, I don't know how many lands are in here. Probably not enough for a five-color deck that plays none of the traditional green ramp spells that you'd probably want to play, because, again, Merfolk aren't good. So we try. We usually end up splashing around in the shallow end, but every once in a while we get scary.
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes for Merfolk, I think. Like, once you get enough of them out, they can definitely be scary.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I love, so I started like a little bit after Lorwyn Shadowmoor. I started like around Innistrad times, which was like a couple years after. And
it was like 4 or 5 years after. Something like that.
Yeah. And I remember at the time I was playing against some friends who had been playing for a long time, and they had like full on Rebecca Gay like themed decks. And I just thought it was the coolest thing ever.
It's like she still has such a distinct style that like is simultaneously so much its own thing, but it just really works in the context of Magic, and especially with Lorwyn, it just felt so much like it really captured that kind of like storybook feel of that, like, oh, you could just be like walking around in, you know, Wales, and you would just like walk into like some Rebecca Gay art and just like.
It's true. Yeah. And I'm glad that, you know, these days we have like 1,000 different like alternate arts and frames and stuff like that, which add a lot of really cool opportunities for like artists with really distinct styles. But I think for a long time, Rebecca Gay was like the one that you could pick out of a lineup.
There weren't that many artists that just had like a very like, hey, this is just like what I'm doing. And I don't know. I'm not like on that level of design for like the, you know, art design for WotC in 2009. But I'm curious what those conversations were. And I'm glad that she like stuck around for as long as she did. And again, occasionally comes back for some secret layers and stuff. And I lose my mind every time. And I buy them because I am not immune to capitalism.
Nope. Yeah. And the FOMO is real. But then when they arrive, it's like the best day ever. So it's worth it.
And it's usually because I forget that I'm like, oh, right, I spent a bunch of money and just didn't even remember.
Yeah, it's like a full like 10 months later, it finally arrives. Like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. Well, I'm a big fan. Whenever I see the threads like from Wizards people asking about what sets people want to, like what worlds people want to visit next, I always say Lorwyn and Shadowmoor because I kind of am sad I missed it the first time around, and I can't believe we haven't gone back for revisit. So that one's always let's do it.
I like can very much understand why it wasn't everybody's cup of tea, but also at the same time, it was mine, and I liked it, and it was really good. I mean, like it was ranked at the same level on like Rosewater's scale as like Kamigawa, and we went back to Kamigawa. So.
Exactly.
Nothing is impossible. While we're talking about Lorwyn, I know we already shouted out Quad 9, obviously, but Spice 8 Rack just did a phenomenal video on Lorwyn, and I basically like echo their sentiment like almost entirely. So if you love Lorwyn, you should absolutely go watch those videos. Because also, you know, I enjoy a like hour and a half long video essay on YouTube very much. Ooh. So it's always good.
I do as well. And I think I forgot to mention earlier, but we'll have Quad 9's links and info in the episode description. So I'll throw Spice 8 Rack's Lorwyn video there as well. I watched that when it came out. And yeah, I could definitely get into a visit to Lorwyn, especially when Kamigawa was like the Revisit set was like one of the best sets probably ever that I've ever played. So if they can make that happen, then we can certainly do another lore win. And oh, and another like background on this deck, I recognize it from a semi-recent episode of Shuffle Up and Play where the professor played this deck.
Yeah, so I don't actually remember whether he asked me to bring him the deck or not. Basically, the conceit of the episode was that everybody had to bring a deck that they thought was a level 7. And we all did, except for George, who brought something that was not a 7. Don't listen to him. George is my friend, and he's lovely. But also, it was my only like defeat. Technically, I haven't been defeated in the true form of 1v1 Magic, not including George, but... So I actually brought this deck and Prof played it. I just like put it in his hands because he was excited about Merfolk. So he played it and he gave it a decent showing, I think. Again, I mostly blame George, but we can blame Prof a little bit. I think I could have piloted it better, but you know, whatever. It was my deck, so like, but I'm glad I got to play it. It was really fun. That I got to give him a bunch of merfolk, and then he chose me as the enemy for True Name Nemesis, my own deck, because of course he did. So,
I enjoyed that episode quite a bit, and I think that's got to be like the best premise for a game of Commander ever is everyone playing their level sevens. Just like I was losing my mind at how hilarious that was. So good.
Really good. Chef PK is just a phenomenal dude. That was actually the first time that I got to meet him. It was just really fun. Shuffle and Play is a great series. And it's not just because I've gotten to be on it 3 times. But it's also just really good. It's just incredibly fun.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've done a shout out for Shuffle Up and Play, so maybe I'll have to do like an official one at some point. But yeah, I've watched every episode like immediately as soon as it drops and have been absolutely loving it. I think it's really cool to see like formats, not just formats besides Commander, but also like specific, like standard time period formats. Like that kind of thing is just so interesting. So yeah,
I'm
a huge fan.
It's really fun. And I can only speak to the episodes that I've been on, obviously, but, I can promise you that at least in the 3 that I have been on, we are having almost more fun behind the scenes than it looks like we're having.
It is
such a good time. It's really fun.
Yeah, and it looks like y'all are having a great time every time. So yeah, I can imagine how much of a party that is. So yeah, thank you for the behind the scenes on that. That's really cool. Okay, so my next question for you about this deck is what's its history? Has it gone through any changes since you first put it together?
Not too many, actually. I have some new merfolk that I need to put in here that, of course, I haven't yet. I think this is pretty much the stock list since I put it together. This is also one of the few decks that I don't actually have many proxies in.
Cool.
Because, again, like I said, I made it mostly out of, like, cards. It was like, a cards on my desk dot deck and slash, like, my rare binder already. There's a few cards in here that I've, like, debated trying to find just kind of like more like, you know, again, like more merfolk-y cards, because there's definitely some like non-merfolk cards that I technically have in here just because they like work really well with the deck. But also if it's only merfolk, it really doesn't do well at a 4-player table. Because again, merfolk can actually like win some games when it's 1v1, but in a 4-player game, you kind of need like larger interaction.
Gotcha.
So I did ramp it up a little bit in terms of power level. I added in Empress Galena and I added Thrasios into the 99. Obviously, I still love Atraxa being the pool party host. But I did put in two of the like kind of like bigger, scarier like merfolk legendaries, just as just kind of support in the 99 to make sure that I can actually kind of like do stuff.
Yeah, makes sense. It's hard to resist, especially Thrasios, just getting like some card draw but still on a merfolk to
yeah, exactly. Stuff. Like and like honestly, like I said, I don't have the deck is green, so like it shouldn't be that hard to make it 4 colors, but I've avoided putting in a lot of the like there's not a lot of ramp cards that have like a merfolk feel or any kind of like even like like all the ramp cards are very like forest themed, or they're like elves or something. So it's kind of hard to find something that like, and again, there's not like a hard line for like it has to be merfolk stuff, but I like, you know, it's kind of more fun to try to put some more merfolk stuff in here. I don't know. There's definitely some cards that like I hopefully as merfolk maybe gets a little bit more like robust with like kind of like the new world order of card design. I can start taking out some cards that are just kind of more like typical like EDH stays for a deck of this kind. Like I have like Cathar's Crusade in here and I have Uro in here. Uro at least is like, you know, he's a nature thing and he's like looks like he's a weird watery titan man. I don't know. Like Shalai is in here because she, you know, keeps stuff alive. So stuff like that is like, it'd be cool if I could get a little bit more synergy and start taking those out just so that like, for better or for worse, like if it just is like a usable deck that is more merfolk themed, like that'd be cool eventually. So
yeah, I totally get that. I'm a big fan of kind of like trying to stick with at least some kind of loose theme when you're picking your like more generic cards, I guess. One like perfect example of this is when I was building my merfolk deck. This was like back when Ixalan was first coming out. That's when I found the original Ponder art that has...
Yes! Here, I love the original Ponder art. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but people are allowed to be wrong. I love the merfolk Ponder art. I love it so much.
It's so good. And up until then, I was like, you know, I had a couple copies of the more generic like moon ponder art
of the three orb moon.
Yes.
Ponder.
Yeah, and I liked that one, but yeah, when I found what I refer to as the titty ponder, from Lorwyn, I was like immediately just like put that in all of my decks instead of the other ones.
Yeah, somebody was trying to tell me that it was like titty nipple ponder, and I'm like, they're fish, they don't have nipples, it's fine, they don't have like derived mammary tissue, don't worry about it.
Right,
stop sexualizing fish.
When you think about it a little bit, it doesn't really make sense, but I just, yeah, I love it so much. The vibe is so good.
Absolutely love it. What is happening? I think we mentioned the professor like three times because he's now texting me just absolutely random stuff and I have no idea what this. I think it's like a BoJack Horseman joke. I don't know.
Were his ears burning? Like
they must have been. He must have been sneezing or something. But anyway,
he could sense people talking about merfolk without him and needed.
Honestly, that's probably what it is. You can't say merfolk three times without him showing up like Beetlejuice.
It's true. It definitely feels that way. Yeah, I'll have to get him on an episode and talk about something completely unrelated to merfolk. I think that would be really funny.
Yeah. Tell him I already talked about merfolk and he can't talk about merfolk.
Yeah,
anymore.
You got dibs, so.
Yeah, that's already been handled. Yeah.
I love it. Okay, so yeah, I love it. I think that it's cool to, well, for one, if people want to like go see this deck in action, there's like already a video out there where you can do that. Although I would love to see you play this deck sometime.
I play it on stream every once in a while too.
Okay,
so.
Cool. Definitely,
yeah,
check it out.
It definitely, like, stream is kind of a revolving door. I kind of just like grab whatever deck like feels right. I usually like if somebody's coming on, if I have like a guest on or whatever and they want to play a deck, we'll usually just like let them pick a deck and then we'll play at their power level. So
yeah, that's a good way to do it. And speaking of your stream, you stream once a week, right? And is it usually Spell Table Commander?
It is Wednesday on Twitch, yeah, and we actually don't use, we just use Discord because I don't like Spell Table. Whatever reason, Spell Table just doesn't seem to work very well for me. So we just play on Discord, and we keep track of our life total on, like, Infinite Tokens. It's very analog. It's very janky. It's mostly just me and my friends making fun of each other while the guest laughs and usually wins because... We're too busy killing each other to focus on them.
That's a good vibe, though. I love it. Okay, so speaking of this deck, what is it about this deck that you enjoy the most when you're playing it?
I think I enjoy people seeing the weird merfolk cards. Obviously, like there are more and more people playing Commander more like now than ever, but at the same time, like... Not a lot of people necessarily know what, like, Silver Guild Dowser is or explaining what, like, a tribal enchantment or, like, a tribal spell is.
Yeah.
Isn't always something that, like, people know, really. So, that is a, like, always an easy, like, show off of, like, hey, look, no, like, this is actually, like, a thing. This is what we thought really good cards were. Like, Stony Brook Banneret was so good in 2007. And that's really cool. The other thing that I really like, actually, is that because of the counters theme, the Explore merfolk from Ixalan actually work really, really well. And I love Explore as a mechanic. I really hope that when we go back to Ixalan that we get more Explore cards, because that, I think, was a really fun mechanic that, like, rewarded you for leaning into it, but also, like, I think it was in, like, a really good, like, Goldilocks position in both Limited and in Standard. Because that was Standard, like, before Eldraine and, like, stuff. So playing, like, Simic or playing, like, Sultai or Golgari wasn't, like, obscene because Oko didn't exist. So it was, that was a really fun Standard deck that I really enjoyed, was the Golgari or, like, Sultai Explore deck. And it was just in a really good place in Limited because it was, like, again, it rewarded you for, like, leaning into it, but it also wasn't, like, it didn't ask much of you. It was just like, oh, if you have an Explore creature, like, you can just get lands or what. It was fun. It was a really cool mechanic, and, like, just both, like, it also really evoked kind of the idea of, like, oh, I'm gonna, like, search and see what's there, and if it's a land, I, like, oh, I've discovered it, kind of thing. So that was cool. I really enjoyed that mechanic, and I think it is something that I would definitely love to see more cards of, and I'm always happy when I get to, like, do it in EDH.
Yeah, I like it too. I think that I occasionally see, like, Path of Discovery out there just in Commander, and it, like, always does a ton of work. I think the Explore mechanic is super, it's, like, super flavorful, and you don't exactly, like, you can't really plan for what you're going to get every time, but, like, no matter what, it's something good. So, and it fits right into the +1/+1 counter theme. So I think,
That's awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, it definitely works.
Yeah, I think it's funny because, like, I feel like a lot of the older Lorwyn merfolk, like, tend to kind of work together with Ixalan merfolk in some ways. Like, there's, like, tap, untap shenanigans you can do with the old ones that, like, there's some merfolk that, like, you can tap to double the number of counters on a creature or, yeah. So, like, kind of interacts in that way. And I think that's really cool that you're able to put these, like, two generations together into one deck and have it make sense.
Yeah, like, I definitely won't say it. Yeah, it's not super good, but it works. It definitely can absolutely do stuff if you kind of get, like, all your little, like, engine pieces kind of, like, worrying. It's just one of those decks that, like, even if you get all your pieces together, like, the best you get to do is you're like, I'm gonna put five counters on my merfolk. And then, like, your opponent who's playing, like, something good is like, okay, and what are you gonna do? You're like, I'm gonna swing for 20 damage. Like, it's not like that good or whatever, right? Yeah. But it always makes me happy. So this is one of the decks that I love, because, like, even if I don't win, I don't care. Like, this deck doesn't win a lot, but I also I get to play stupid merfolk, so I feel like I just showing up at having the audacity to show up at a table with this level of just, like, cold fish in your pocket is already winning. So
yes, yeah, 100% agree. And I feel like everybody should have a deck that, like, gives them some nostalgia or some kind of joy that you get that's not just from sheer power level. I think that's a really, like, special thing that you can really find in Commander. So
I really miss that about, like, early Commander, when you were just like, I really want to build this thing, and there were, like, so many less legendaries to do, and there was a lot. I mean, obviously everybody still had, like, Sol Ring in their deck or whatever, and it was, you know, I don't know, like, obviously, like, things change, and it's good that Magic is a thing that changes, but I can still be, like, nostalgic for kind of older. And again, to be fair, I built this deck, like, 2 years ago, so this deck is not necessarily one that I played during that era of
right
Magic, but it kind of, like, gives me that feeling of when I, like, had just kind of started to play.
Totally. Yeah. I've been thinking about that a lot more lately when building decks. The last episode I recorded was an Uncommander deck. Also, Unfinity just came out, so that's just kind of been on my mind to build, like, silly decks that are more about doing fun stuff that I'm, like, more interested in, like, showing people, I guess, rather than just trying to win. So
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I like that. And showing people, like a bunch of cards that you played back in the day that you just love. I think that's, like, what Commander is here for. So, yeah, I'm super into it. Okay, kind of hinted a little bit about what the game plan is for this deck. Is there anything else you want to talk about when it comes to like the overall goals when you're playing this deck?
Basically, if I can get out a... I mean, there's some merfolk that actually have some like decent kind of ability to like carry the game forward. That's usually the problem with this deck. I don't have a lot of ways to draw cards unless I have out like a Cold Eyes Selkie, which allows you to like draw a card when you hit somebody, or like a Sig, like a dark Sig, a moldy Sig. So the blue black one allows you to draw a card if an opponent lost three or more life. So that's usually like the issue, is I can definitely like stall out just because Atraxa does a lot of things, but she does not draw you cards. So sometimes that is the problem. But if I get something out that says I can draw cards, it usually is pretty good. I do have a few ways to actually clear the board. Slin Voda is really fun, because if you kick it, you just bounce everything but merfolk, and it's just like... There are definitely some things that aren't merfolk in this deck, obviously, like Atraxa herself. But a lot of the, like, Shalai is in here, like I said. Deep Glow Skate is in here, but there's a few other creatures that, like, if you bounce them and you just replay them, that's, like, fine. Like, Uro, like, bouncing Uro back to your hand and replaying him is fine. Bouncing Deep Glow Skate and replaying that, totally fine. So things like that. Obviously, it has plenty of alternate win cons. I've got Simic Ascendancy in here, so if I can kind of just put a bunch of counters on that, with various just putting counters on merfolk, which they already kind of want counters on them, so I can win that way. I do also, because I can't stop entirely from being the villain, I've painted myself a lot, like, I'm just like a person who wants to play EDH for the vibes. But I do have Triumph of the Hordes in here because I am a villain.
Nice, yeah.
So that's definitely a thing that I can do. Alternatively, with like the tap and untap stuff, I do have Empress Galena in here, so I can like take people's stuff and do that too. So I don't have a lot of interaction. But I do have a few ways to like solve problems. And then every once in a while, getting to go off with Mirror Entity is really fun, where because again, it's another Lorwyn card, so it's not technically a merfolk, but it is one of the changelings that I included in here because it can do heinous things, because then you can just make all your creatures massive if you have a decent amount of mana, and then you can just kind of send them in to do battle or murder or any kind of combination thereof.
Yeah, I like it, and I think that it's cool that you have cards like Harpoon Sniper, which is the like the coolest white merfolk
it's so removal dumb spell. Like, it's just so random that it's there, but I, again, like, that those are the cards that I wanted to play, so like they're in there.
Yeah, it's fun. I like it. I think it's like, it's cool to see cards like that, and then cards that just kind of explode at some point in the game, like Tishana, Voice of Thunder, I feel like is kind of a good way to draw cards with your merfolk.
Yeah, like she's big and super scary. If you can actually get her out. And again, yeah, like just being able to do like the explore stuff. Again, like I love showing people like the Muro Commerce, like tribal merfolk stuff, where you get to be like, yeah, here, this is what this does. Like, Leech Bonder is, like, a silly, like, really cute, stupid little merfolk that you can, like, move -1/-1 counters onto by untapping it. And then you can proliferate those counters with Atraxa, which, again, is, like, mostly cute. Like, rarely ever do I actually kill anything that way, but it is kind of a fun little thing that somebody's like, wait, what the fuck is that? It has an untap symbol on it? And I was like, it does. Lorwyn was a weird set.
That's fun. And I've like, I have a merfolk deck. I don't think I've ever looked at this card before. So I love that. I think surprising people with cards like that, and then they're like, what is going on here? And then dropping a Cathar's Crusade or Doubling Season or something to just kind of like, I don't know, bump up the power, I guess, when you need to. Do you still have both Kioras in this deck too?
I think I went down to one Kiora. Because one of the Kioras, like, it was one of those like, oh, you failed me for the last time. And I like yeeted her across the room. I think I went down to one because I just didn't have the synergies for what the other one did. Like, I just kept absolutely getting, like, fucked. Now, of course, I can't find it. I could like look at it on the thing, but I have the deck in front of me, and it's fun to to slip through cards.
Oh yeah, that's what I usually do. If I have a deck that we're talking about, I like to have the physical thing.
Yeah, I think the one that I still have in here is Kiora, Master of Depths. I think that's the one that I still have in here. Since again, for one, she can like always just untap like a creature and a land, which is again usually good for various things. And again, often I need the ramp because this deck is not very good, and it doesn't have the proper ramp to be able to like play Atraxa. And I did put, I think I replaced the other Kiora with, unless she's in the copy of the deck list that you have. I actually, speaking of like my nostalgia for like the OG Explorer, I put in Vivian Reed, the OG Vivian.
Oh, nice.
Because like I realized I had a foil copy and I was just like, oh, honey, you can come to the pool party. You're good. I need you for things. And again, that was also when I played like all my like Merfolk Branchwalkers and my Jade Light Rangers. And I'm like, that's still like Merfolk nostalgia. And who doesn't love Vivian? So I put her in here as well. Plus, she's also like some of my only like interaction with, I think, like enchantments and artifacts. I think that's the only way I have to get rid of those is with Vivian's -3. So.
Yeah, that's totally reasonable. I think the like all of the Vivian cards are just so good. If your deck has like, if it's like at least half creatures, it's just gonna be so good.
If you're a green deck that wants to play creatures, Vivian's usually like sup.
Yep.
Which is it's a green deck, so usually you're probably playing some kind of creatures. But yeah, definitely a good pick. Big fan.
Yeah, I think Kiora's ultimates are just so spicy, and especially with
Atraxa. And like if you ever get those big stupid Kraken, you feel so good, or octopus rather, the octopus pit.
Yeah, I love them too because it's like not that impactful at the point in the game when you get those, but it's just like there's something about just getting giant Krakens every turn. Like
yeah, you did all this work and you got an 8/8. You're like, whoa, I get it. And it's like, it's still just an 8/8 creature that I can just chump. And you're like, yeah, but I have one. I did it.
Yeah, exactly.
I got it.
Yeah, that's why Kiora Bests the Sea God is one of my favorite cards ever.
Yes, it is a very cool card. I'm a fan.
It's so good. We have mentioned like quite a few of these, but are there any other like notable cards that you want to point out that fill like generic roles like ramp or card draw or removal, but that are like spicier for this deck?
Yeah, I think like the biggest ones that I really like is like Kiora's Follower is like decent for ramp because you can actually like untap stuff. So you can untap your lands basically, and it's a, you know, it's a stupid merfolk, so it does stupid merfolk things. But again, like I would say overall, like one of my biggest, like best ramp cards, which unfortunately it costs 4, but is Path of Discovery. I really like Path of Discovery just like as a card. It is just something that like I am always happy to see. Like again, like in a perfect world, maybe it costs like 2 in a green instead of 3 in a green, but like whatever, it's also fine. It's just like the way that things go. So like I'm not trying to make this deck super good. Curse Catcher is still in it. Like it's fine.
Yeah,
but I am a big fan of all the Explore stuff.
Yeah, and I think one card that I have loved in my Merfolk deck is Surge Spanner, just because it's like the most annoying kind of like type of removal possible. This is a Merfolk where when it becomes tapped, you can pay 1 and a blue and then return like bounce a permanent to its owner's hand. And you like Merfolk are really good at just like being able to untap and tap like multiple times per turn, so you can really mess people up that way. And that, and it does more than creatures, it's target permanent. So yeah, that's one that I'm a fan of too. I usually like to do like one type of rant per episode. So if today's episode is a like people should play Path of Discovery in more decks because it's fun, then I'm like on board for that.
Yeah, I just like Explore a lot. There's not like a glut of Explore cards is like, so it's kind of understandable. I guess maybe what the rant should be is that WotC, please print us more Explore cards when we go back to Explore. That would be really cool.
Yes. Yeah, because we didn't get more Explore cards in Rivals, right?
It was only in Ixalan, so
yeah, because they were done exploring by then. But I feel like the new one is like Caves of Ixalan, right? Something like that.
The Caverns of Ixalan or something. Yeah.
So maybe we can be exploring in those too. This next question I have for you is kind of funny considering this deck list, but do you have any pet cards that you just like can't resist playing in this deck?
Most of this deck is just pet cards. I mean, again, like there's cards that absolutely like don't need to be in here. Like I don't have any way to recur Curse Catcher. And like a lot of like Stony Brook Banneret isn't all that good. And like, you know, Judge of Currents like gains you a life every time like a Merfolk is tapped. It's just like, there's a lot of them that just aren't super good. You know, I don't know. They're very silly, but the whole deck is kind of silly. It was also definitely like mostly Merfolk cards I have. And there's definitely some I want to go back in here and add, but like Merfolk of the Pearl Trident, like I don't have what are they, the Streambed Aqua Text. Like I don't think I have that card in here, the one that makes all of the all lands islands. Like I don't even think I have that combo set up. I think I just kept it in here. Just very silly things, but yeah. I don't know. Like Silver Guild Dowser is just it's one of my favorite Lorwyn arts because I absolutely love the design of that particular Merfolk because she's got this like very cool color scheme of like gold and orange and black and red, and it's just a very cool artwork. I don't have any fairies in here, so like it's not like particularly good. Again, it's just like a silly combat trick too. You can't even like kill anything with it, but I really like it. I also have special like game day promo Silvergill Adept from Ixalan.
Yes, me too.
That just looks like really pretty. So of course that's in here, even though like again I don't have any way to like flicker it or have it re-enter the battlefield. It's just kind of it just enters and looks cool, and I didn't have another place to put it, so I wanted it to be in the deck.
Yep. Yeah, I did the same exact thing because, I'm pretty sure I took out like a much better Merfolk to make room for that at the time, just because the art was like back then full art creatures were just like few and far between. So yeah, it was just such a cool card. It's kind of funny to ask about pet cards. Usually people are like, oh yeah, I have like two cards that are pet cards, but yeah, it's always fun to talk about it when it's like clearly a pet deck in its entirety.
Absolutely, so. Just like a very silly deck that I put together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love it. Okay, so my next question is, what card do you think is like the MVP of the deck? Like if you get this card out, it'll just make everything else like start working really well.
I think, unfortunately, like a lot of them are the not Merfolk cards. The ones that kind of like hold the deck together are like, I mean, Cryptolith Rite is pretty critical. Because it allows me to tap all my stupid like 1/1 Merfolk tokens that I'm making with a bunch of cards that I can't like do anything with for mana. And again, like Path of Discovery, I'm just going to keep talking about because again, every time you're making like a 1/1, you're looking at cards and like doing stuff with it. Which is obviously kind of critical. Other than that, like cards that actually like end the game, again, like Slim Voda is really good if you can actually land it with like the kicker cost for like the total of 8, then suddenly you're, or for 10 rather, with kicker cost, then you're suddenly like, only my creature's gonna say, how weird, and then everybody's stuff gets bounced, and even Atraxa gets bounced, but like whatever, I don't care if she goes next to my hand, she still only costs 4 to replay. And then again, like, I love Vivian, too. Like, I actually just think that, like, OG Vivian from M19, so the 3-mana green planeswalker, that allows you to, like, look for creatures or lands, or, again, like, she's the only way I have to destroy, artifacts and enchantments, I think, basically. So she's also great, and if for any reason you can actually put a bunch of counters on her with Atraxa, she's the one who brought like the keg to the pool party because all your creatures then have, yes, you know, they get big and scary and you just get the emblem for it. So that usually helps.
I love it. And I like how you have like a few different ways to kind of like go off with Vivian. Like doubling season in Vivian is like pretty intense.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah. I like that there are like a few different ways to kind of put those pieces together.
Yeah, doubling season is like dumb. Like, it's a card. It's one of the cards that I actually consider taking out of the deck most. Again, just because it's one of those things like I literally put it in here because it was like in a trade binder, and I just had I just happened to have a bunch of doubling seasons because I got a lot of Battle Bond. And now I'm looking at the price of doubling season, and I'm like, I don't think I need these for that price. That's a lot of beer money that I could have.
Yep. Yeah, it definitely is kind of shocking because I feel like it was pretty cheap when during Battle Bond, but I guess
I think I think it went down to like I mean, I think the lowest it ever hit was like 20 or 30. And again, don't quote me on that, but it was still like expensive, but it definitely went down from like 50 to reasonable, and now it's crazy again. So.
Yep. That's so wild. And I guess it has been like 5 years since Battle Bond, which is so weird.
Yeah, but... I think Battle Bond was like, 2018, 2019. Maybe it was like 2019. I don't know. One of those times. Everything before COVID is a time and everything after COVID is other time.
Yes, that's correct.
Not that we're really after COVID. It's still happening, obviously. But, you know, like after like, you know, what people think is quote unquote COVID.
Yeah, exactly. No, I know exactly what you mean. There's like two separate worlds. Yeah. Okay. So that's cool. I think that I love to see in this deck like a cool combination of like silly creatures that kind of come together sometimes and have a lot of like nostalgia, and then also just like strong cards that can help actually like pull it together when you're against three other people. And yeah, I just think that's fun. I think I also play Doubling Season in my Oozes deck, which is kind of a similar like power vibe where like Doubling Season is clearly way stronger than the strongest ooze. So it kind of like it balances out, I guess, a little bit. But
absolutely. It's like Doubling Season can only be as good as the thing that it's copying, right? And it's copying getting your folks. Like, what's it actually doing in this deck?
Right. Yeah. You're getting like a 1/1 every once in a while or a 3/3 or something.
Yeah.
Cool. I love it. Okay, so yeah, my next question for you is, do you have a favorite like in-game moment that you've had while playing this deck?
Well, I think all of my opponent's least favorite in-game moments when I play this deck is that I don't remember how many counters need to go on things because I am very bad at remembering all of my triggers, especially when like we're on stream and I'm trying to talk to chat and like do everything else. So usually that's my opponent's least favorite collective thing that everyone hates. But otherwise, like, all of my favorite things are, I think my favorite memory of it is just Prof, like, playing it and, like, picking me as True Name Nemesis, him with my own deck, on his silly little show. And also just the fact that he was, like, looking through the deck and he's like, how many lands are even in here? I was like, I don't even know. He's like, is this even a legal deck? And I was like, if I tell you, we're going to have to fix it before we film. And if I don't tell you, he's like, do you even know? I was like, I absolutely do not. So, so those are some of my favorite moments. And also, again, just the fact that, like, when I was building this, we were still in COVID lockdown. And I happened to be talking to a friend of mine. And he was the one who suggested the idea to put Atraxa in there. And I just kind of like started brainstorming, and we were just like on a Discord call with a few of my other friends. And like that, I'll never quite forget because it was just really fun. And we were all just like, we had all had a few drinks and we were all just having like a great, great fun, just like shitting on every stupid merfolk card. As I immediately was like, oh, I know this one, and like sleeved it and put it in the deck, right? Like after we had just made fun of like how bad it was, I was like, oh, I'm so excited to play this though, because what if it actually goes off with all these other cards?
That's awesome. I love that so much. I feel like whenever you have a deck that can just like produce a fun story nearly every time you play it, you know you've got a successful deck built. Whether it has like a card too many or not, like it doesn't matter.
Absolutely. Yeah, and anytime, like again, like anytime somebody has to ask me what one of my stupid merfolk does, that's also just a win, because I get to like just evangelize about Lorwyn to whoever has the unfortunate business of playing me. Usually one of my friends who's already heard me evangelize about Lorwyn so much, but they can hear it again, damn it.
That's what we're here for. We're here to talk about our favorite cards, and you're gonna listen every time.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing. I love those stories, and I love that we were able to kind of like talk about the Prof's moment, because it was definitely one of my favorite parts of his new series, which is super exciting. So
I'm so glad. Yeah. No, I'm biased because He is my friend, and I have been on them, and he keeps having my friends on them, so they just keep getting better and better. But yeah. It really is. I have nothing but good things to say about it, like, unironically. Even if I wasn't on it, I would still think it was really cool. So
I love it. Yeah, and I love, like, you can kind of tell just as a viewer, like, when the people on shows like that are having a good time. And, like, it's so easy to see that everyone the prof has on is just having such a good time and
such a good vibe.
And you too. I feel like every time you're in something, like, you're like so energetic, and it makes whatever the thing is like a good time. So.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, that's like the best I could ever hope for, is that's the impression that people get. So.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. Don't need to worry about that.
Yay!
And we've come to our final question, just like a little bit of flattery before we get into the last question.
Oh, I'll always take flattery.
But so the question is, what advice would you give to other people out there who might be listening and are like interested in either building maybe a merfolk deck in general, or to kind of copy your idea and build an Atraxa merfolk deck? Do you have any advice when it comes to that?
I mean, it's not a deck that wins, but I would encourage anybody, like, if you have just like a bunch of pet cards that you want to play, you absolutely should. There's no reason. Especially now, there's a lot of ways that, like, you can definitely make, like, a merfolk-based deck and still put in, like, I don't know, 5 to 7 cards that will just kind of, like, get you there eventually, if you can. But again, I think it's very okay to kind of go into a game with the intent of just, like, wanting to show off your deck rather than the goal of, like, I want to sit down at this table and win. Obviously, you have to have, you know, that comes into the whole power level discussion and such. But I would still encourage people to build decks that their goal isn't necessarily to win. Obviously, like, you can make them competitive. You can put fucking Triumph of the Hordes in. I did. I am not absolved of villainy in this scenario. Again, sometimes Atraxa just wins, too. But it is very okay to be like, if I am remotely competitive and somebody across the table is like, what the fuck is that fish? That's like, I've won. I'm doing good. And so it's very okay to just kind of, want to do that as well with your deck. So whether you want to make a merfolk deck exactly like this, or you want to make a merfolk deck that is all of the explorer creatures or something like that, I would absolutely just encourage people to, you know, chase their little dream to, like, your heart's content. Do whatever. You absolutely are not going to win every game of Magic anyway, so you might as well make it fun to play and play with your friends and the cards that you want to for the games that you don't win. And I think that's kind of what this deck is for me, that it was, like, equally fun to build and to, like, talk about and think about as it is to play. And the occasional times that you win, you feel like you, like, really did it, right? Like, you're just like, yes! You feel like Hulk Hogan. You're just like screaming because you're so stoked about it.
That is such good advice. I think just like going into a game, what I'm always trying to do is to like get compliments on how weird the deck is and like how synergies people haven't seen before come out. And whenever somebody like mentions something like that, it's just like, it feels like such a success to me.
Yeah, right? Like, again, like anybody can like do, you know, I don't know, anybody can play some of the other decks that I have, which are like, haha, I did it, I played Mana Crypt into Manalith, into Grim Monolith, into the other one, into this, and then I won on turn 2, and everyone's like, cool, we're gonna stay and play an actual game. So I've been on both sides of it, so it is nice to have decks that are kind of just all over the place and can kind of fulfill any niche. So
cool. Yeah, I think that's fantastic advice. Thank you so much. Your like deck building style and the way you play games, just like, it just seems like a lot of fun, and I appreciate that. So yeah, thank you so much.
I try.
Awesome. Okay, well, we've made it to the end. So just as we kind of wrap things up, I want to say thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you spending an hour like talking to me about one of your commander decks. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. It has definitely been super fun. So the pleasure is all mine. I had a great time.
Awesome. I'm so glad.
Regardless of which kitchen appliance Mercury happens to be in, near, or interacting with, I still had a good time. So.
Yeah, I feel like I took that like frazzled energy that came from there and just like harnessed it into Magic, which is kind of what I tend to do anyway. So yeah, it really worked out. So yeah, as we sign off, can you give us like one more rundown of all of your plugs and all the places people can find you?
I am Tabito Claus, as it goes. I am everyone's favorite slash least favorite loud dinosaur on the internet. As long as you tell Prophet he's your favorite loud dinosaur on the internet, because then you can make fun of him for being older than me. I'm a reoccurring villain on more talented and more famous content creators programs, such as The Professor, Olivia, you know, got to go on a bunch of other cool things, occasionally show up on other people's streams. You can find me on my own stream on Twitch at TappyToeClaws. You can find me filming dumb TikToks at TappyToeClaws. I'm on Instagram, even though that's mostly just reposted TikToks, because that's kind of what Instagram is right now. But I'm also obviously on Twitter causing mayhem and probably yelling about politics. And you can absolutely find me there.
Cool. Yeah. And I'll have all of Tappy's links down in the description. So definitely go give a follow and check out the deck list. And yeah, just get your merfolk nostalgia ready, because
it might so much fun. Be accurate.
And it'll be pretty close. Maybe 100 cards. Awesome. Okay. Well, yeah, this has been awesome. And I've loved every second of it. And I'll also have my links in the episode description, so reach out if you'd like me to talk to you about one of your decks. I'd be happy to. And I think that's all for this episode, so thank you everyone for listening. I hope you have a good rest of your day, and I will catch you again next time.